The rest of the story this morning involves a war on our border. Joining us now is Tracy Wilkinson, Mexico bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times, who's been providing coverage for the paper's series, Mexico Under Siege, about the war between the Mexican government and the drug cartels that is very much visible from U.S. border cities like Tijuana and El Paso. Also with us is Sam Quiñones, who's an L.A. Times reporter who's been providing coverage for the same series and is author of two books about Mexico, True Tales from Another Mexico and Antonio's Gun and Delfino's Dream. His website is samquiñones.com. Tracy and Sam, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Good morning.
You know, listen to this, both of you. When Felipe Calderon, the Mexican president, said this last week, my jaw dropped in shock.
I have not lost at all any single point of the Mexican territory. Colombia lost during several decades, and even today, parts of its territory is in the hands of the guerrilla. But Mexico, all the territory is in the hands of the Mexican authorities.
In Mexico City, Tracy Wilkinson, when the president says, hey, I haven't lost any of the country, it seems that the bar is a little bit low in this very, very destabilizing conflict with the drug cartels.
Well, yes, and in fact, that contradicts what most of his aides have been saying for quite a while. They've been quite frank about having the fact they have lost parts of their territory, at least temporarily. You know, perhaps it's not a Colombia situation where you can define a large chunk of territory that is permanently under the hands of guerrillas or drug traffickers. Here in Mexico, it's much more fluid, but there are certainly towns, cities, parts of the state, across the country, where the government cannot enforce the law, cannot provide security for people or for the protection of their property, their rights, their safety, and so there are indeed parts of the territory, parts of Mexico, where the government cannot enforce the law, and that is lost territory. It is perhaps temporary. They send in the army, they regain control, but there certainly are parts of Mexico that I would say is not under the control of Felipe Calderón.
And Sam Quiñones, you've seen this up close and firsthand. How is the law, according to the cartels, enforced on something as simple as who's going to be the chief of police in a border town?
Well, recently, of course, I'm sure you're referring to the case in Ciudad Juarez where the gunman out there left banners around town saying that the chief of police had to resign or they would kill an officer, I believe it was every 48 hours, if he did not. And they killed, I think, one 48-hour period passed where they killed one officer, and with that, the fellow resigned, and there's now a military commander in charge of Juarez police. So that's exactly one example of this kind of thing going on. In other cases, I would say the cartels are not organized enough to do that. I would refer you to Tijuana, where there's lots of mayhem. It's really between two factions of one cartel that's in the process of either disintegrating or reconstituting itself. I'm not quite sure sometimes, but you do have this kind of power simply brought on either by a new brazenness or by the instability that comes with top level leaders being arrested or killed.
So this is a direct response to an aggressive initiative on the part of the Mexican government to try to take down the cartels.
Right, and I would say that is actually what's new. It's true that there are parts of Mexico that sometimes are not in control of the government's not in control. However, I would also say that this is a very, very new thing. You know, for many years, the Mexican government, or I should say elements of the Mexican government, organized and controlled drug trafficking
right.
for their own gain.
I mean,
is what's new here. This Calderón's government has decided that it's not going to play these rules that were set up back in really in the early 70s, late 60s, or maybe early 70s, and reached their lowest point when I was in Mexico in 1994 and then 1995 when Carlos Salinas's brother, The then president Carlos Salinas's brother Raul was found to have had $300 million in different foreign bank accounts, all the result of money from the Gulf cartel for protection.
Right.
Essentially, I mean, it's kind of the government for a long time said this is where you guys go. This is kind of let them do it. And now this government is saying, okay, that's over. Those days are over.
Yeah, the protection racket, the sort of protection racket between the government and the cartels is over. Tracy Wilkinson, if the U.S. is giving military assistance, and Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense, suggested that that was definitely the plan on the part of the Obama administration, is that politically popular in Mexico? And does the Colombian example give people confidence in places like Mexico City?
Well, there has been, it's been somewhat controversial, in part because initially there were requirements, strings attached to the money that said Mexico had to meet certain human rights requirements and such, and that was seen as interference. But I think overall Mexicans think the United States needs to do a lot more. The money that the U.S. is promising right now is really a drop in the bucket compared to what traffickers have and what is needed. The Mexicans want the United States better control the flow of weapons, flow of money, and that sort of thing. So I think there's certainly a desire that the U.S. do more. But, you know, the violence is not just a reaction to the army going in. We have to look a few years back and see that already these drug gangs were proliferating, fragmenting, and that also has caused a lot of the violence, in that it's become a much more competitive business. There used to be just a handful of cartels or organizations. Now there are many groups fighting for a piece of not just territory, not just the smuggling routes, but also for control of local markets. So there are many factors for why
right.
this is become so much more violent.
Well, let's pull one out. I mean, we could talk about this for an hour. It's just purely the threat to civilians alone in the border areas. But, Tracy, you referred to it a moment ago. The flow of arms from the U.S. into Mexico, the Mexican government has said that's got to stop. That would require a level of arms control or gun controls in certainly the border areas of the United States, some of those conservative parts of the country that we haven't really seen yet. Sam Quiñones, is this a demand by the Mexican government to actually crack down on arms shipments and sales near the border?
I mean, it's a demand. I'm not sure how many people are taking it seriously. I mean, the problem is, of course, that you have the state of Arizona, where you have very lax gun laws, gun shows, and so on. Plus, you have the great phenomenon of straw buyers, which is a lot how all this happens, where one person without a criminal record goes into a gun store, buys a lot of weapons, immediately turns it over to, sometimes is shopping with a cell phone, taking pictures of the guns to send it to someone who's actually paying for the whole thing. I mean, this happens fairly frequently, is my understanding, in places like Phoenix and elsewhere. That I've been along the border, you know, and it's you're getting into kind of issues that have to do with our own culture. One is our
sure.
drug demand culture, and then another is our gun culture. Who knows? This may have to change. If I'm not sure if it will, because it is so
well,
ingrained.
It's certainly the clash. Tracy Wilkinson, I'll give you the last word in the last 40 seconds here.
Well, I think what's particularly alarming to the Mexicans is that these weapons are increasingly of military grade, you know, high caliber, 50 caliber guns, anti-tank weapons, grenades. The Mexicans could do a lot more, too, though, in setting up a better customs regime and controlling its border as well.
Well, Tracy Wilkinson and Sam Quiñones, both reporters on the Los Angeles Times series Mexico Under Siege. It would appear that at the very least, drugs and guns are a volatile combination there in dramatic instability between drug lords and the Mexican authorities. Sam Quiñones, Los Angeles Times reporter, and Tracy Wilkinson, Mexico bureau chief for the LA Times. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.